This is Susie Larson. I want to thank you today for downloading this podcast from Live the Promise. I do hope you enjoy it. Thanks also for your continued support of Faith Radio. I want you to know you can donate anytime by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab. Have a great afternoon, and God bless you. Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson here with Tim Marks on the board, Gracie on the phone lines, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome, welcome to Live the Promise. So glad you tuned in today. Well, we're ending the week with a bang. I think we are ending it with an exclamation point. I'm excited about today's guest. He's Matthew Barnett, pastor and humanitarian, man of God, and a best-selling author. He wrote a book that is selling amazingly well. The title is The Cause Within You, Finding the One Thing You Were Created to Do in This World. And so I pitched the question on Facebook. As you know, every day I post a Facebook faith question. Try to say that three times fast. I post a faith question on Facebook related to the show theme. And I said, do you know the one great thing you were created to do in this world? And 15 people responded just like that. One said, Dina said, to be a voice for the voiceless. Alicia said, I've not zeroed in on the specific thing, but I'm quite certain it entails spreading God's love in a sincere and passionate way. Dana says to help those who've been spiritually abused in the church and to help those in leadership. Judy Marks, I think she's married to our producer. Her passion is to minister and nurture the senior adults. Great ministry. And they go on and on. So if you want to be involved in the discussion even online, if you're not even able to listen at this moment, go to facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. Well, as I was just praying this morning during my quiet time, even thinking about today's show, just by chance, I happen to be reading both in the book of Acts and the Gospel of Mark. First, I'm reading about Paul, who's going to Jerusalem, and he knows that there's suffering that awaits him there. But he's so much more compelled by his call than he is any afraid of his fears that he must go, and he went. And then there's Jesus in Mark 10, heading to Jerusalem and telling his disciples about what awaited him there. And some disciples were actually in awe of what he was saying, and others were afraid. And it was so amazing to me as I'm thinking these two men, you know, our Savior and Paul, a great man of God, so set on their call that they even knew that suffering awaited, but they were set on the call of God in their lives. But then if it wasn't sort of sad, it would be sort of funny. But then, you know, James and John pulled Jesus aside after he's talking about all the suffering he's about to go through. And it's in so many words, modern day paraphrase. Jesus, quick question. Can we sit next to you in places of honor and glory? I mean, I know you're talking about suffering, but can we have a place of honor? And Tim, I think we do that so often in our call. We have sincerity, we have faith, and then our own ambition and our own stuff gets mixed in, don't you think?
It does. It kind of gets in the way. And how do we miss it so completely sometimes?
I know. I mean, Jesus is so patient. You know, I always joke about when I stress my sweet husband out, he rubs his temples. And I'm thinking if Jesus was a temple rubber, he probably rubbed those temples a lot. But he was so patient and gracious to his disciples, training them up in the way they should go. And love Jesus. Love that about him. So I'm going to open up the phone lines right away, and I'm going to introduce our guest to you. So here's my question. We have three copies of this beautiful hardcover book to give away, The Cause Within You, Finding the One Great Thing You Were Created to Do in This World. And that's my question. Do you know the one great thing you're created to do in this world? If so, I want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Let me tell you about our guest, and we'll get him on the show. Matthew Barnett, co-founder, along with his pastor father, Tommy Barnett, of the Dream Center in Los Angeles and senior pastor of the historic Angelus Temple. The Dream Center's ministries reach more than 30,000 people each week. Wow, that's amazing. Through its multiple church services and more than 200 need-centered ministries. Matthew's the author of The Church That Never Sleeps and has been seen across the world through the church's broadcast on TBN. He and his wife, Caroline, have two children, Mia, Amy, and Caden West. They reside in Los Angeles, and you can learn more about Matthew's ministry at MatthewBarnett.com. Welcome to the show, Matthew. We're greatly honored to have you with us today.
Oh, it's an honor to be with you. Thank you.
Absolutely. Well, we love what you're doing, and I can't wait to have you share about the Dream Center. We like to start out each show talking about a passage of Scripture chosen by our guest, wondering if there's a particular passage that's either a life verse for you or one that God's just been speaking to you about lately.
Absolutely. You know, Proverbs 3:5, you know, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. And the second half of that verse, in all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Those are actually 12 words that changed my life and actually kind of formed the whole concept of finding the cause within you, and really kind of got me going when I was 20 years of age. And I came into the inner city of L.A. to pastor a church and floundered around. And that became a foundation verse for really the rest of my life.
Wow. Well, for those who don't know about the Dream Center, maybe share that initial vision for the Dream Center and then what you're doing now. So what I'm really curious about, I want you to let people know what you're doing, but your picture that maybe God gave you and what you're walking in now, and do they differ even in any way?
Well, it's really fascinating. I came to L.A. at 20 years of age as a pastor's son of a mega church, and I had all these dreams of, you know, coming to L.A. and people coming to hear me preach. I thought I was going to show up and then everyone was going to come and hear what I had to say.
If you build it, they will come.
When I got here, reality set in very, very quick. I was in the middle of the biggest gang ravaged community in all of Los Angeles, crime on every single street corner. And it was there where everything that I thought I had to build died. I looked out into a building one night of 700 seats, a 20-year-old kid. I'm the staff member of every single department of the ministry, the only staff. And not one person showed up. And I went to my apartment and wept for 3 hours. And I said, God, I feel like I'm the biggest failure in the world. And God just spoke to my heart. He said, stop your crying. I want you to go to Echo Park. And I thought God was mad at me for being a big old baby. He was just going to finish me off in a drive-by. You know,
yeah.
I didn't know what was going to happen. You know, I went to the park.
Go to a timeout in the inner city.
And I saw helicopters looking for criminals, boys up against police cars being arrested. And that night, God said, I want you to lay down every dream that you have of building a church. I want you to throw it away, and I want you to live the rest of your life building the dreams of these boys up against police cars and these homeless guys in the park and these families that have nowhere to go. And that night, something happened. I laid down my plans, and I picked up the cause of Christ, which is the cause of people. And from that day on, it changed. And now the Dream Center, if you can imagine, our listeners, a hospital on the Hollywood Freeway that's 400,000 square feet. It's open. Our church is open 24 hours a day. So if somebody had a drug addiction in the middle of the night, we take them in. We help them detox and get their life back together again. Runaway teenagers now, instead of going to juvenile hall, they'll send them here. A 60-bed facility for girls that are victims of human trafficking. So 750 people living in a hospital, homeless families, every need you can possibly imagine in one building, open 24 hours a day. And can I tell you, that night in the park, that was not the dream that I had when I came to L.A. But when you lose yourself in the cause of Christ, when you lose yourself in just saying, God, this is what I have in my hand, I want to use it to serve, sometimes you'll wake up and find that you'll have dreams that you never even knew that you had,
wow,
that God will put in your heart as you begin to lose yourself in what God has given you.
Well, God bless you, Matthew, for what you're doing. When you finally, you know, got a picture of, you know, of being the hands and feet of Christ in this way, did you ever even dream, though, that it would be at this level?
Absolutely not. You know, I'm glad God didn't give me my dreams because they were smaller than God's cause.
Wow.
And it's interesting because, you know, I just wanted a church that was paid for, a church that people would come. I didn't realize, I thought Sunday would be the destination spot for me as a pastor, but it's not. It's becoming the launching point of the church, the launching point of a saturation of the neighborhood Monday through Saturday, you know, feeding people every day in the street, painting out graffiti every single day in the street. And I work with 350 people that are former drug addicts in my rehab home that now have become my staff. I mean, in my church, I got ex-drug addicts. I got ex-murderers. And that's just a pastoral staff right there. That's like, you know, the other people we got going on. And I never dreamed that this would be my work. I've never used alcohol or drugs my entire life. But yet when I lost myself in God's cause, He said, you're the perfect person for this job. I said, God, I can't relate to the neighborhood. I don't know what I'm doing. God says, it's not about being relevant. It's about being revolutionary. Mm-hmm. And I want to do a revolutionary work in this community. And God has been so good. You know, through the efforts of people serving and working, we've seen crime drop 73% in the neighborhood. And we have begun to see people unleash. Juvenile delinquents now that came through our program, they're now overseeing 700 people every Saturday, one of our kids, who's going into the neighborhood adopting the blocks. And I just believe, you know, people ask me the question all the time, Pastor, how do I find my one great cause? It's the most important question people ask me and most common question. And I tell them the answer is very simple. They get really shocked. And that's a complicated process. I said, no, the answer is very simple. You just spend your life using whatever God puts in your hand, and you use it for His glory, and you love it, and you value it, and you'll never have to look for your cause ever again because your cause will find you. Hurting people will find you. The people that need you with what you give, they'll track you down. And it's an amazing thing. Most people just simply maybe they don't find their causes only because, not because they're not good people, but sometimes the enemy will lie to us and say, we have nothing in our hands, so why even bother getting started? you know, or you have a bad past, and sometimes your cause can be found within your bad past. And so the book is about unleashing people to dream again and believe in the possibilities that whatever they have in their life, when they submit it to God, anything can break loose and anything is possible.
That is just mind-boggling. Now, your wife, was God, over the years before you met her, was God preparing her to partner with you in this way and grabbing hold of her heart in a similar way?
You know what? She was a volunteer at the Dream Center for 2 years before we met. And it was funny because I never saw her as somebody that I would marry because I think that God didn't want me to see her at that time. You know, it's funny. And one day I called her into my office and I said, hey, there's somebody that needs someone to deliver food, a social worker, to a family. Can you bring over this bag of food? So she said, sure, I will. And she got in there and loaded up that truck in 5-10 minutes and started bringing over the family. When she left, I said, oh, my goodness, this girl's amazing. I mean, this girl is like a hardcore for Jesus, man. She loves the Lord. And then I start looking for any old reason to get her to my office to ask her questions. I'd be like, you know, that food truck that you were running, the tires were a little low. You know, I need to talk to you about that. I'm not a micromanager, but certainly
right.
I became one.
But you're cute. That's awesome. Well, I ask this question a lot. We talk about calling on this show a lot because, you know, our whole tagline is engaging you in a strong and active walk of faith. And God has, you know, planned ahead of time for each of us to fulfill the things he's appointed for us. So in a moment, I want you to answer this question for me, Matthew. The refining process that you went through for God to get you ready. My pastor often says the depth of the dealing corresponds with the height of the calling. And so we're going to just break for just a moment. When we come back, Matthew, I want you to share just a little bit about your spiritual journey of how God prepared you to stand in this place. Thanks for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We'll be back in a moment.
In your fast-paced world with commitments at work, home, and church, flexibility can become one of the most important things you look for in a graduate education program. At Northwestern College's Center for Graduate Studies, you'll find it, and so much more. Here, you can take courses online as you develop a belief in the plans God has for you. Learn from experts and master the skills you'll need to make an impact in the world. Believe, learn, master at Northwestern College. For more information about online programs, visit nwc.edu.
Would you appreciate others praying for you and the concerns you're facing? Then take a moment to share your prayer requests with us at PrayerWorks, one of the ministries available to our Faith Radio family through our website at faithradionet.com. PrayerWorks is an online ministry site that lets you share a prayer request as well as pray for others already posted. It's a powerful way for our listening family to hear one another's burdens and remind us we're not alone. Your heart will be moved and encouraged by joining with us in prayer at PrayerWorks online at faithradionet.com. That's faithradionet.com. Click on the ministry tab to get started today, and together we'll see what God does.
Let my light song sing to you. Let my light song sing to you.
Let our life song sing to you, Lord Jesus. Welcome, welcome. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, talking to Matthew Barnett, founder of the Dream Center, author of the great book, The Cause Within You, Finding the One Great Thing You Were Created to Do in This World. Do you know the one great thing you were called to do? Or maybe you've got a question for our guest today. We'd sure love to have you join in on the conversation. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. Okay, Matthew, tell me about your just refining and preparatory process that God brought you through to get you ready to stand in this place.
Well, you know, at 20 years of age when I came to pastor, I think it was everything that God built in my life came through the valley experience. You know, I think sometimes we fear going into the valley. We fear going into hard places. But, you know, there's a time in my life where I said, God, I've lost everything. You know, I inherited 20 people in my church, but nobody wanted to listen to a 20-year-old preacher preach. And, you know, and I wasn't really qualified at that point. And I don't even blame the people. But I was at a place where I lost everything. And I was all down to nothing. And I said, God, I'm at rock bottom. And God says, I recreate people in rock bottom. I don't just save people in rock bottom. I recreate them. And so in the middle of my rock bottom, there was only one way to look, and that was up. And I looked up at God because in my own strength, my own plans, everything failed. But the only place I had to look was up. And when I looked up at God and said, God, I want you to recreate me into exactly what you want me to be here. And I always tell people there are advantages of being in rock bottom. There are advantages of being in a place where maybe Everything that you think you were supposed to live for dies in order for God to get your attention and say, I want to rebuild it this way and do something so dramatic. And really, this was built. The book is a journey through failure. It's a journey through having wrong motives and God working through that. It's not a journey of perfection, but it's a journey of vulnerability, of showing people that when it's all said and done, God is just looking for someone who's saying, here's my heart. Whatever you put in my hand from this day forward, I don't know what it is, but any influence, any blessing, I want to use it to serve my generation by the will of God. In the simplicity of that revelation, when I got it, while I was sitting on my desk outside the church because I had no more office, I had to move it outside of the church every day on a little old desk with a jar of candy and a phone. And, you know, now God's given us 10,000 members in the church and 750 people living there and 40,000 people a week being served. But it was one prayer by one table with four bags of food sitting around me that I got my own salary. And I said, God, I gave you these four bags of food, and then it turned into an extraordinary miracle. So I think many times we're spending our whole life trying to figure things out when God is just looking for someone to be obedient and take the first step towards faith.
And just be faithful with what you have in you. You know, I chuckled when I read that you moved your desk out of your church onto the sidewalk and put a jar of candy on the desk. I thought that was the most precious thing. And I read that you were noticing other churches bringing in evangelists for the neighborhood, but it was more of a repent or go to hell kind of message. And people were, you know, saying yes to the gospel over and over again to get rid of these people. So you adopted a new or a different angle and adopted a block. Tell us about that, because that really became kind of a launching pad for your ministry.
First of all, you're asking all my favorite questions today, so thank you. Being a doctor blog is something I'm so passionate about. You know, every Saturday we average anywhere from 700 to 1,000 people that made a lifetime commitment to serve the blocks in the neighborhood. And these are two people that take 30 visits in a block, and they serve them. They knock on the door, we're your neighborhood servant, and for the first 8 weeks, we're not even preaching. We're just kind of ministering to them, and then the open doors come from there. And so the adoptive block has been the most extraordinary thing we've ever seen. You know, people that maybe don't feel comfortable talking, but they're plumbers. We can call them. If someone needs something fixed in their house, a plumber will come by and fix something in their house. If someone needs something painted, someone will come by. So it's really utilized every gift in the body of Christ, from the talkers like me to the people that are simply, you know, workmen who want to help and make a difference. It has mobilized an unbelievable, effective army in the community that's out there making a difference. And so if you can imagine visiting 32,000 people with a broom and garbage bag and a heart to serve and a carnival atmosphere of kindness, what's happened is the reason why crime has dropped is a police officer came to us and said something so profound. He said, you guys have changed the atmosphere of the neighborhood. I said, what do you mean? He said, good has dominated the atmosphere for so long to where evil doesn't want to exist anymore. It's an unfriendly environment for evil to prevail.
Wow.
And you hit it so hard. And so it's just changing the atmosphere of the neighborhood. I mean, you get 700 people painting graffiti every single day and picking up garbage and giving away free food and being a blessing. And now we do it every day, actually 6 days a week. The enemy doesn't stand a chance when God's people are effective and immersed into a great cause.
Oh, amen. You know, I work alongside International Justice Mission, and of course they do work internationally. But when you come in as a faith-based organization and you strengthen the system by the way that you help and support, then there's a friendly relationship there, and you have some credibility then, and you're allowed to exist. I think that is so important and so powerful when you're actually effective, because you're being the hands and feet and you're humbling yourself. That's just an amazing thing. Do you have a vision to see this Adopt-A-Block sort of take off across the country?
Well, actually, you know, we do. We have 500 Adopt-A-Blocks that are all over America now. Then we have 170 different dream centers that are out there doing it. And Adopt-A-Block is so wonderful because people in church say, how do I get my church to be outreach-minded? And I explained to them the Adopt-A-Block concept. And the reason why is this. When God's people just start getting out there and seeing the need and getting to people's world, they will come back to Body of Christ and form ministries. They have a clothing store that's open all day long. That was started by a family that went in there and said, there's a family that didn't have any clothes, I want to start a clothing store. And then the church started seeing the need and filling it just by being out there. And so that's why I say it's so powerful, Dr. Block, because it changes the scenery of our day-to-day lives by getting out there and seeing needs we've never seen before. And it forces us to face issues, look them in the eye and say, I'm going to be the solution to that problem.
Hmm. You know, this reminds me of like a modern-day Salvation Army. I mean, it's really amazing what you're doing. Wow, honor the gift of God in you. So I also want to have you tell us about the night that you spent on Skid Row. I remember seeing a video documentary of that, of your night on the streets. How did that time impact you, and why'd you do it?
Well, it impacted me so profoundly. It was my 15th year of pastoring. And I think what makes the Dream Center so interesting is local churches are doing this kind of work, not parachurches, actually. It's like churches are taking on the mantle of recovery and 24/7 type of ministry now. But as a pastor, you know, the church had gotten about 10,000 people, and the ministry had gotten kind of easy to operate because we had volunteers. It wasn't the same as the beginning. And I just began to start to feel a little bit of my spirit as if I wasn't going back to the basics. I'm in the process of managing the miracle more than living in the miracle. And the church was going to throw me a party at the 15th year anniversary. And the Lord just spoke to my heart, said, you know, don't have a party. I want you to go back to where it all began. So I picked up a piece of cardboard, went back to the streets of Skid Row. Can I tell you? Living homeless amongst the streets of homeless capital of America, Skid Row, 13,000 people in a 9-block radius, was the most stunning experience of my life. Little tents where children were living up against walls, witnessing the people whose eyes were rolled and been to the back of their head because they had a needle in their arm as I was talking to them. Porta potties that the city had put there to be used for restrooms were being used as prostitution rings. As every 5 minutes, young girls were in there. Many of them were being forced into it by a pimp, and seeing people jump from tent to tent to get one more money and doing favors to get one more hit of drugs, and spending there for 36 hours and just seeing the pain and the hurt and all that was going on, I finally just picked up the Bible and started walking through the streets, and people started crying out for help, crying out for Jesus. And then we just started bringing shuttles and taking it back to the Dream Center and seeing homeless children in America living up against walls. God on that night told me to go back in the next 30 days to open up a floor for homeless families. And it was that night where God said, sometimes you've got to get radical in order to get right. And for me as a pastor, I had to do something to shake me from the fact to where, well, may I don't have to really pay the same price that I used to pay when it all started, you know, because, you know, that's what you have to do to get going. But no, that's what you have to do to stay going and stay passionate about people and keep on meeting the next need. And that night was probably the most profound night in my life. And I look back at that as a turning point after 15 years of reconnecting myself back to the passion of the cause.
That is just powerful. Well, as someone who struggles with fear, it's something I've had to put under my feet over and over and over again. I just have to ask, were you afraid for your safety when you went and did this?
I was. You know, the first 2 hours, I was terrified. I in the book, I talk about the paralyzing that I was just trying to survive the night. I thought, well, God wanted me to come down here. I'll just survive it. And then God just spoke to my heart. You know, you need to love where you're at, because perfect love casts out all fear. And what you choose to love, you won't fear anymore. And so I began to walk through the streets, and I said, God, just give me love. I began to love the people down there. And my heart grew bigger and bigger. And you know what began to happen? Every hour, the fear left, because I began to love the things in which I was fearing. And that became the turning point in my mind and my spirit. And the love of God and the anointing of God overcame all of the other elements out there that were trying to bring me down. And so I always say, fear cannot own you when a great cause rules your heart. And it really is true. Mm-hmm. The things that I fear now, the high rises of L.A., the little boy, I see those high rises, they look like giants. And now I look at them, they look so tiny, and they look like they're my friend now, because perfect love has cast out all of that fear.
Wow. My heart is just pounding. This is just powerful stuff. I've got pages of notes, but I'm so engaged with what you're saying, I forget to look down at them.
Oh, so you, God.
Yeah, amen, amen. Well, you were standing. We have a couple minutes before we have to take a break, but you were standing in line at the flatbed truck to get some Mexican food, and you had a unique experience with a woman. Would you share that?
Well, it's great to have an interview with someone who's read the book. You're wonderful. I was standing by one of the trucks in the middle of the night. I was standing in line to get food because I, you know, many people ride our buses. They knew me, so I had to kind of go undercover. And so I just had no money in my pocket. And then a little Mexican restaurant that just closed came from a flatbed truck and said, we have some leftover food. And I was standing in line. Can I tell you the weirdest experience of my life? I've always been the one on the other side giving it away. And now I'm standing in line with homeless people, crippled people, people that were less, you know, mental disabilities that were thrown to the streets of Skid Row because people didn't know what to do with them. I'm standing in line to get food. And it was there where a little Hispanic lady came up to me and said, sir, bless you. You're going to make it through the night. And she took her hand and patted me on the shoulder, and I about literally lost it. Somehow I became one of the people. God allowed me to go through some kind of transformation in my mind where I totally felt in the moment as if that kind of act of love really did a lot for someone. And I was able to understand that just little things of compassion like that we think that aren't affecting people, it about broke me down to the core of a person. And it was a very transformational moment of my life being on the other side of the equation there.
You know, that is what Jesus means when he says, give a cup of cold water in my name. As you said in the book, there were no cameras around. This wasn't a PR move. This was a woman coming down on your level and loving you, not knowing who you were. And that is just such a motivator for all of us. So in a moment, I want you to talk about when God redirects our dreams, because I think you're so right. We ask too little. We believe too little. We think we have an idea of our cause, but so often it's so much bigger and more beyond than what we could ever ask or dream or think. And so I want to talk to you more about that. We've got a few people waiting patiently on the line to talk with you, and so we'll take your calls in just a minute. So hang in there with us. The cause within you, finding the one great thing you were created to do in this world. We want to hear from you. 877-933-2484. You were created for such a time as this. God has his hand on you. He's got a plan for you, and he's made his promises available to you. So this is an urgent hour and a timely hour for you to be alive and living out your cause. That's why this show is so important today. We really are ending the week with a bang. Glad Matthew's here with us. We'll have more with Matthew Barnett on the other side of the break. We'll be back in just a moment. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're having a great conversation with Matthew Barnett about his book, The Cause Within You, Finding the One Great Thing You Were Created to Do in This World. I feel like this is a timely word for all of us. We've had a number of people waiting on hold to talk with our guest today, Laura from Madison. Welcome to the show, Laura.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be able to chat with all of you and to learn and to grow.
I'm so glad that you got in and you were really waiting so patiently. So you have a question for our guest today.
Well, I just am looking for that spirit of encouragement to stay on course. I've been a school administrator for the last 16 years and love what I do as a teacher. And in just a very short period of time, I made the choice to open my heart and spirit to doing what am I really called to be and what am I here in this world to contribute. And I'm leaving that career to follow God's path for me. And I feel that this book and the title and Matthew's words are just right in line with the direction that I feel my journey going and unfolding before me.
Excellent. Excellent. You want to speak to that at all, Matthew?
Absolutely. You know, and that's a wonderful experience. It's a scary experience. And the great thing about it is when you're kind of making that transition, it's just you and God. And you're at a place in your life to where you're so dependent upon God and it's so adventurous. Everything is so new. But everything is so exciting, and I think those are some of the best places we could ever be in our life, because it really kind of moves us into a new era of trust and belief and expectation that anything is possible. And so it sounds like her passion is so overwhelming to make a change in the lives of people, and that passion that she's had for all these years will just continue to carry her through everything that she's called to do. And I just encourage you, just, you know, like we said in the book, one of the chapters, having the power of proper attitude, man. Our attitude can transform any place we come in contact with if we truly see ourselves as ambassadors of the cause in every situation of our life.
Amen. Well, Laura, you get a copy of the book, and you're going to love it. Shannon from Albertville also, she says her purpose has just been revealed. I'd love to hear it. Shannon, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, what was revealed to me is God showed me this burning passion for PTSD awareness for the soldiers, and just healing and awareness that should be brought to the church so that there is a place for these soldiers to come to and talk about this and learn about this and their families, and mainly, too, just healing soldiers that were in other wars, Vietnam. And I know the reason it touches my heart is my dad suffered from PTSD. I have, you know, and I have so much, too. It's just funny how God orchestrates everything. I have letters from my dad expressing, you know, journal writings expressing how torn up he was about the war, being in the war, and letters of, you know, God working in him. And I have, like, so many things to share on a personal level that, you know, if I talk from my heart, my life experiences, I don't think I can go wrong. But my question is, how do I get started? Do I go knocking on church doors and say, hey, can I speak? Can we hold a thing where I can share something, make some awareness? Or, you know, I thought maybe if anybody that's, you know, listening to the station right now, I could leave my personal information and they could you know, if they already have something, an organization, I could, you know, join that too. But, oh, I'm just on fire, and I don't know how to get started.
Great question, Shannon. I'd love to hear what you're going to say, Matthew.
Well, I think that's exactly right. I think you just have to make yourself available. You know, it's I think you have to keep telling the story and telling the vision over and over again in every situation because, you know, at the Dream Center, I give tours almost every day, and I never get tired of telling the vision. And I think a lot of people, you know, feel maybe they get weary. You got to tell the dream everywhere that you go, in every situation, because there are open doors everywhere. And it sounds like to me that in her pursuit of even now, she's telling the vision. And the more you talk about the vision, the more power the vision has to grow and continue to move forward. So I think what she said was powerful. I think she just began to make herself available. Say, look, I'm a resource to people. If someone came to my church with that mentality and saying, hey, I want to come by and make myself available to talk to some of probably one of the most needy people that I've seen in the country are some of our veterans. They're ending up on Skid Row. I see them all the time, and they're just so lost and hurting, and someone to love them. And who better than this wonderful woman who's been through this and understands it, maybe not understands it exactly to that level, but certainly understands it enough to pour out a lot of love and a lot of guidance to these people. So I would tell her, everywhere she goes, talk about the vision and never stop telling the vision, because the more you talk about it, the more it's getting power and gaining strength. You know, I preach about it every week of the year. I just was at Lakewood Church with Joel Osteen last week, and, you know, and they asked me to talk about the Dream Center. And I said to myself, God, I've preached that message 6,000 times, you know. But there's power when you tell what you're passionate about. And never stop telling the story about what you're passionate about. And it sounds like it's already gaining power. She's speaking about it.
You know, I just thought of, Matthew, there's power in whatever we talk about. Because, you know, you hear people talk about what they dislike about their spouse or what they hate about their life, and they get madder the more they talk about it.
Wow.
You know?
That's powerful right there, what you just said. That's absolutely right. It's like whatever you put your attention to, that the power goes wherever your attention flows, that's mm-hmm. where the power goes. That's exactly right.
Well, you just said it better than me, but that was awesome. Okay, Annan, I think I'm saying your name right, from Minneapolis. You're caring for your husband who has Asperger's. Did I read that right? Welcome to the show.
Hi, I'm Anonymous.
Oh, Anonymous. Annan. Okay. Can we call you Ann for short?
Sure.
I'm sorry.
No problem.
All right. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I'd say 40 years ago when I first became a Christian, I was sitting in a rural church, and I would say God said to me, I have something special for you. I haven't known what it was. And then I've been married to my husband for 30 years now, and I don't know, 7 years ago, he was finally diagnosed with Asperger's syndrome.
Mm.
And for years and years, it's been a very painful road, very struggling. It's not your typical. It's not what marriage I thought would be, but I look at my life with my husband, and other people affirm this, that they really believe that I'm here to help my husband through life, because if you ever know about Asperger's, anyone who's been married to someone with Asperger's, it's a very hard life. And but I've finally realized this is, I think, what God has called me to do, and I hung in there for 30 years by God's grace.
Bless you.
Wow.
Mm.
What a powerful cause right there. I mean, it sounds like she's already living what I'm talking about beyond anything I could possibly imagine, and you know, helping him take care of him. And I tell you, that kind of cause right there is as big as anything that we're doing in Los Angeles. I want to tell you that right there. That is, because it's, you know, in the end of the day, it's always about the one. It's always going to be about the one that we're trying to help. And may I just applaud her for just all these years being just such a trooper there in the trenches and loving and serving. And well, you talk about a dynamic cause. She could write a chapter just on that in my next book. That's
absolutely
powerful.
That's so great. Thank you so much for your call. You know, I was thinking before the break, Matthew, about a young girl that I'm mentoring, and I pause to use that word. I'm slow to use it because every time I talk with her, she inspires me. She's early 30s, but she started out wanting to adopt, and three times where they thought they were going to get a baby, it fell through, and her heart was devastated. She was laid out on her bed sobbing before God. She has two biological children and one adopted from Guatemala. Well, through the redirection, she's taken in a family of three children through the foster system. When she went into the city office, she saw it was just dark and gray and just just dingy. And so she said, would it be okay if I brought in a few friends to paint this, you know, and bring in some toys? And they said, sure.
Wow.
So she put on her blog, and I think she had something like 100 people come. They transformed the place, brought in new furniture. It's colorful, rainbows, curtains, toys, diapers. And so she's suddenly now started a forgotten initiative, the Forgotten in Our Community. And she's, I mean, she has six kids, and she's mobilizing communities to reach out to these city centers who are, you know, being facilitators of foster care. I don't even know what to say. It's just so amazing. But it was her heartbreak of God saying no to adoption because he redirected. And I know God redirected you, obviously. So talk about that, you know, when people feel like I'm supposed to go this way, but I keep banging my head, and God's redirecting. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, you know what? Sometimes I tell people that you are one act of inconvenience away of possibly finding your cause of a lifetime. And I've seen that so many times where people have stepped out and they saw the need and they found their cause in that need, in the simplicity of it. And, you know, one lady went out one day, a social worker said, we need some food. Can you bring some food by? She brought it to a family and saw a family of eight children in an apartment from eight different fathers and a 29-year-old mother sleeping on the ground. Mm. And all they had, all we had, the dream store back then, was a bag of food and raw zucchini and crackers. Walked into that room, the little children tackled this volunteer at our church and ripped a bag. It was gnawing on raw zucchini like it was the last meal they've ever had in their life. She was so stirred by that one act of inconvenience of bringing that food, she went back to the dream center, found an old ice cream man truck, and now they're running 27 sites 5 years later into the elementary school, feeding about 20,000 people a week in just one ministry.
Wow.
So never despise the one need that is out there that you meet, because that one need could be the open door to what God might call you to do for the rest of your entire life. And I've seen that every day of my life. You know, I stepped out of my world. I made a difference in someone else's world, and then God opened up a whole new world for me.
This is just so powerful. There's so many things I want to ask you about, because I feel one of the things that I have a little bit of angst about is we've managed somehow in the Christian world to take on the American dream, combine it with our self-ambitious goals, make a name for myself, you know, and call it a calling. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to get famous.
Wow.
And you know what I'm saying? And, but truly, I feel like that God is, his heart has moved in on us. Be the hands and feet of Christ. I'm serious about this. And you're seeing it through and hearing it through people like you. So I want you to just kind of make the distinction between self-ambition and kingdom passion.
Well, there's a big difference between mission and ambition. You know, if you live your life for a sense of mission, you'll always be happy. If you live your life with palms up, you're only going to be happy in Christmas time and your birthday. And if you live life with palms down, there's a way you can be happy 365 days a year. And I've seen that my entire life, because I know what it's like to be addicted to ambition. I know what it's like to come into L.A. and being a son of a 14,000-member church and having all these ideas of what life should be and finding my value in numbers. And then if the numbers didn't match up on a Sunday morning, I would have anxiety in my spirit. I couldn't preach my sermon because we were down four from the week before. So I know what it's like to be on the other side of wrestling with the idea of being something rather than being a person of significance. And when God broke that wall down in my life and showed me it's always going to be about the one, it's always going to be about the next person you can make a difference. It's about living your life on the dangerous edge of serving, which is the most exciting place to live. I found that God didn't want me to create a safe church. He wanted me to create a dangerous church, dangerous to love and dangerous to serving. And so, you know, a lot of times, you know, we always tell people, look, you know, a lot of people, you can raise awareness to a need, and that's good. We just choose to solve the need first and then raise awareness while we're in the middle of the fray trying to get the job done and stepping out and doing that. But ministry, in my opinion, God's opened up a lot of wonderful doors for us. But everything that God gives me, he's put in my hand to give back to those little kids in the neighborhood that have no voice. I'm a third-generation pastor, son of a mega church. I thought that meant I was supposed to pastor the biggest church in America. And all this, I never knew that my road would end up in the ghetto on the streets of Los Angeles. I didn't feel like a pastor, like a city janitor, walking through the streets, picking up broken pieces and telling people that they can dream again.
Mm. I just don't even know what to say. I am so inspired, Matthew. I thank you so much. We need to take a short break. On the other side, I want one of the callers called in and want to know, how can you, you know, mobilize a church to reach out, to care for those out in the community who maybe they don't even, that's not even on their radar. And if you're a restless person who wants to be the hands and feet, but the church isn't engaged, how do you do that? And also, we'd love to hear from you. We've got a few more minutes left to take your calls. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. This is Live the Promise. We'll be back in a moment.
Want to grow in your faith? It's a valid question, and I'll explain more in a moment. Hi, I'm Dick Whitworth, General Manager of Faith Radio. Spiritual growth is unpredictable, and in fact, studies reveal that it is as unique and complex as the individual who wants to grow. Ultimately, your spiritual growth, while admittedly is dependent on many circumstances, starts with your desire to go deeper. So back to my question, do you want to grow in your faith? If the answer is yes, Faith Radio is for you. Our broadcast day is built around the best Bible teachers we can find. We bring you probing and challenging interviews with authors and Christian leaders, plus news and information from a Christian perspective. Connecting faith to life is more than a slogan, as we believe a deeper life equals a better life. Thanks for listening, and let's grow deeper in our faith together. If you're not already a member of our monthly support team, would you consider joining? Your gift today will encourage others in their walk with Christ. Find out more at faithradionet.com.
I was made to love you. I was made to find you. I was made just for you. Made to adore you. I was made to love and be loved by you.
Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and this is going to be one of my all-time favorite shows today, for sure. I mean, all-time favorite shows, what we're doing today. I'm talking to Matthew Barnett about his book, The Cause Within You, Finding the One Great Thing You're Created to Do in This World. We got a couple minutes left to take your calls. We got a couple people coming in now, 877-933-2484. Okay, Matthew, how do you mobilize a church? I travel around as a conference speaker, and I hear this all the time, where women are, like, twitchy, like, I'm so desperate to get out and do, and they know that they can. I think they know they can on their own, but they want their church to be mobilized. How do you do that, and what should you do about that?
Well, you know, I know a lot of people that say, well, we don't really have an environment that kind of releases that type of activity. But I tell them, look, you just start serving people, bringing people in, making a difference. You know, I had one lady in my church brought in like 25 people from a different ministry that came in, 25 girls that were former prostitutes that she came into the church, and she started bringing them in. She said, Pastor, this is the greatest environment. We're just so excited about doing this. We want to be a part of your church. And immediately, I just embraced it. You know, I think sometimes we wait until we get the green light to do a ministry, but I think sometimes we just need to bring the ministry into the house of God. And I think one of the things we got to do, too, is, you know, in order for a ministry to move forward like that, we have to just be passionate about the local church, be passionate about the vision of the ministry. We got to give a church a reason to love what we're doing by introducing them to the kind of people that we're trying to reach out to. And I've seen them my whole life now, where people bring in ministries and bring in people. And I think sometimes we can spend our whole life trying to talk about what we want to do with the church and what we want, the direction we want to go in, and kind of try to convince the leadership. And as pastors, I think what we have to do is we can't beat people over the head with the mindset and leaders as, oh, you need to do outreach, you need to do this, you need to do that. We need to show them the miracles that are taking place as we begin to serve. We need to celebrate serving. I think sometimes there's this thing where, you know, sell every possession that you have and the whole world's going to go down and we got to just, you know, but I think we have to show them the joy and the passion and the celebration. That's why we have testimonies every single service that we have at our church. We had a girl last night, 12 years of age, juvenile hall gave her to us. She was raped by three men who actually videotaped it. Mm-hmm. And she was left in the juvenile system for dead. She was addicted to drugs. She came into our program, and she's been off drugs for 2.5 months. And I had her tell her testimony about that transformation that's happened in her life. After church, I had about 15 volunteers that wanted to come and help these girls and help them get their life back together again. I think as a church, we can't be so bogged down by our programs, how we run church, that we don't leave enough flexibility to let the testimonies of what's come forth, of what serving is producing and what's coming forward. So I would say from a leadership, you got to motivate your people to serve by showing them the joy and the value. And if you're a church member, bring something into the house of God that the church has never seen before, and they're going to fall in love with what you're doing. I promise you, the pastor, you start start bringing hurting people into your church, 99.9% of every single pastor is going to embrace it. Maybe they might not know how to do it, but you can be the one to kind of bring that element into the house of God.
Oh, very well said. Well, we've got David on the line from Cloquet, Minnesota. He says he's got a great quote to pass on. David, welcome to the show.
Thank you. First of all, brother, really cool what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, sir.
What you do for yourself dies with you. What you do for others lives in eternity.
Mm.
Wow, I need to preach on that Sunday. Thank you. I think you just gave me a sermon for Sunday, man. David, I just wrote that down. That's just powerful. I got chills up my spine because it's true. When the perspective change takes place, like you just read, when that perspective shifts in your life, you can always be happy, because when you work for God, you always be happy. If you work for man, you're going to have bad days and good days, and things might not always measure up. But when you serve, when you do everything you do to the Lord, it just makes life so much easier.
Absolutely. When you're doing his deal, all of heaven is on your side. So you've got some pretty significant assistance as well. You know,
amen.
I often say that, you know, the dream of God in you is conceived through intimacy, but it's also achieved through intimacy. So that seed, you know, that thing is planted in you through intimate times with God, through intimate association. But I know for me, I'm so in over my head that I'm swallowing water all the time. I mean, I'm like, I'm dog paddling. Lord, if you don't show up, I'm sunk. But I know I'm in the faith zone. I know that's where he wants me to live. So I've found even walking it out and sustaining it takes incredible intimacy with God. How do you, amidst all the demands and pulls on your time, Matthew, sustain your intimate walk with God?
Well, you know, we have prayer every morning from 6 to 9. That's open our building, and we just rely upon it. You know, an airplane has got two wings of it, and that's what the ministry is. You got evangelism, and then you got prayer. And yeah, a lot of times people say, well, we're a praying church, and that's good. We should be a praying church, but we should also be an evangelistic church. And you got the other guys that are like, we're going to win the world. We don't have time to pray. No, then you're going to fall flat on your face, and you're not going to sustain it.
Mm.
You know, it's two wings of an airplane. You've got to have the passion to give away what God gives you, and you've got to seek his presence with all of your heart, and you're just going to fly for ages. And I learned that the hard way, to be honest. It's funny, the harder I begin to work and forgot to pray, the further the vision got away. But the more I begin to pray and let some of the work aspect things slide and wait a couple of days to take care of, because you see, the urgent will always clamor for your time, but the important will never clamor for your time.
Mm.
Prayer is important. Urgent things are not important, but urgent things, little things, will try to take your life away. But the truly important things that change your life will never clamor for your time. And so you have to realize that you have to let the urgent things go aside, and you have to value the things that are important in your life. And that's hard, because we can feel like we're letting a lot of people down sometimes if we're not constantly spending our life responding to the urgent. But the urgent sometimes is a trap to get you away from the important. You know, years ago they asked Billy Graham a question on Larry King. He said, they asked Billy Graham, what is the hardest thing for you to do in your walk with God? And I loved his answer, because it was so true. He said, the hardest thing for me to do is to pray, because he understood the battle that goes on. When you start seeking God and getting strength in that intimacy moment that you said, the possibilities and the vision, the clarity of mind will just go through the roof of what God has for you to do. It's not, prayer is not something that short circuits your dream and slows it down. It speeds up the vision that God gives you.
That's excellent. Well, you know, just this week we dedicated actually a whole show on the idea of quitting and when it's God's best will for you to do so. And then you actually have a chapter, I thought it was interesting, in your book, When It's the Right Time to Quit. Can you just give us your take on quitting?
Yes. I have a very funny take on it. I believe that only successful people can have the desire to want to quit. If you have a desire to want to quit, rejoice, because it means you have something to quit. Only successful people can have the desire to want to quit. And here's also I realized, quitting points, every time you crash through a quitting point in your life and you step over that quitting point, you walk into another greater dimension of God's will for your life. And whenever the desire to want to quit is the strongest, that's usually when the greatest breakthrough is around the corner. So I don't say I rejoice when I want to quit, but a little bit I do in the back of my mind, because I know if I could just get beyond that quitting point in my life, maybe it's the taxes. I don't know. Maybe whatever you're dealing with. But getting beyond that quitting point in your life, you always find a beautiful place on the other side of that destination. And so, and then we also like to say, you could have the honor of wanting to quit, which means we say all the time, you can say, I want to quit as much as you want, as long as you know that deep down inside your heart, you're never going to quit. So I've wanted to quit so many times. In fact, I've drove down that freeway back to Arizona, and God said, you know what, don't give me one more year. Why are you trying to think a year down the road? just give me 24 hours. And sometimes you don't have a year to give God, a month, a week, but you got 24 more hours to stay in it. And that's all you need for God to push the button to kind of reset you back into the passion of what he's called you to do.
So that's excellent. How do you strengthen yourself in the Lord when you get to those places of depletion? What works for you to, you know, other than obeying him and doing a U-turn with your car? But, I mean, what else do you do to strengthen your soul that you have it in you to get back in the game again?
Well, personally, I made a decision years ago that I was committed for life to what God called me to do. I committed, I knew God called me to the streets of Los Angeles for the rest of my life to serve. So once I already decided what God called me to do for the rest of my life, I was encouraged because, you know, I'd have bad days, but you know what? I'm God willing, I'll be doing this until I'm 70, 80 years of age, you know? So I'm going to have some good days too. And so I realized when you commit yourself to something and you've already decided that there's no looking back, there's a sense of encouragement in your heart knowing that as bad as it swung in one direction for the bad, there's time on your side, there's God on your side, and God is moving those directions and he's moving those scenarios back into the right. So I realized that it's a long journey, going to have some ups and have some downs, but I've already decided a long time ago I wasn't going to quit, so I don't have to ever make that decision again because I decided once and for all a long time ago.
Okay, that's just excellent. We only have a little bit of time left. So I'm thinking of that person who's gotten into the wrong line. That what we were talking about on quitting on Monday was when you're quitting the thing that God hasn't asked you to do so you can be available to do the thing that you've discerned that you should do. And that's what your whole book is about, is discerning. So talk to that person about discerning that call who they're exhausted, they're depleted, they're like, I'm barking up the wrong tree here. What's the next step that they can take to get the mind of Christ for the one thing they were created in this world to do?
I think what they have to do is fall in love with the original contours of the vision that God gave them. To go back to the beginning places and realize how much they love the thing that they're contemplating quitting about right now. And that's one of the things I do. Whenever I get tired and worn down and pressure gets too much, it takes me back to those days where I had chills up my spine as I walk through the streets of L.A. and dream of what could be done. And whenever I feel like going backwards, I, for a sense, look backwards at how much I really love what I was called to do, and maybe a piece of that love has been stripped away by circumstances and time. And I go back to those places, and I look at the landmarks of where God has brought us through. You have to look at those places where God has brought you through all those years to remind you he is going to do it again.
Beautiful. Well, normally we close the show where we ask our guests to pray for a specific situation, but Matthew, if you don't mind, I want to pray for you because we're so blessed by your time. I know you're so busy that you would stop and you would pause and you would share your vision and even your insight with us is a great gift. So if you don't mind, I'd love to pray a blessing on you.
Please do.
Father in heaven, I want to thank you for Matthew. I want to thank you for his wife. I want to thank you for his children. God, I want to thank you for the thousands upon thousands of people who've been impacted by what he does. And Lord Jesus, we come together in agreement as the body of Christ, and we lift up our brother. And we ask, Lord Jesus, that you would increase his territory, that you would bless and protect his health, help bless him in mind and body and spirit. Lord, for every scheme that's been fashioned against him, would you break it off in Jesus' name? And I pray for reinforcements. I pray for protection. I pray for vision. I pray for godly helpers to come, godly volunteers to come out of the woodwork. We pray for everything that the enemy meant for evil will be turned for good in that city and across the country. And I pray for more dream centers to rise up, Lord God. We thank you for this brother of ours, and we thank you for the work of his hands. Bless and protect him on all sides. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. And I just appreciate you guys out there for helping us and the Dream Center by getting the cause within you, because every proceed of this book, 100% from the very beginning, is all going towards the homeless of Los Angeles. So God bless you for this amazing show and these amazing people.
Thank you, Matthew. God bless you, and thanks again for your time today. Well, you've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Suzy Larson, and you can find a podcast of this show up on our website at faithradionet.com. Go to our website. There are some great articles there, and you can maybe check out the blogs while you're there as well, or get information on becoming part of our Faith Radio support team. Again, that's faithradionet.com. Well, you know what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and he's the one who'll keep you strong to the end. Have a great weekend.